Welcome, welcome. Big night here on Who's Talking. We've got a great show lined up. Brad Barnes, former UVA offensive tackle deluxe, and we're talking big.
Big fella.
Big guy. And we've got Hobbo back in studio, which is astounding.
Hobbo back in the house. And you know, I thank Terry Gates, although Terry was going to be on the show anyway last week, but I appreciate his being here in person to take care of the basketball discussion. And we may bring this up a little later when Gordy Rawls is on. With Ortho Virginia, but I personally thank Vince Dalton. You know, we've been joking in recent weeks leading up to the surgery, but Vince Dalton is a terrific doctor, and you know, by Christmas I'm going to be moving better than I have in a long time. Thanks to Vince, having done two hips in 2 years. So, Dr. Dalton, thank you very much.
I think you're always sucking up, and I've never seen anybody quite so blatant. Hey, we have a awesome guest coming on later in this half hour following Brad Barnes. We've got none other than wonderful Wally Walker, one of our favorite guests. And
another guy whose jersey I retired.
That's right. And Hobbo helped hang that thing in the rafters. You should have seen him up there in the scaffolding. It was impressive. All right. Without further ado, let's get some football discussion underway.
Do we have to? I guess we do.
We do. It's a must. Brad, are you there?
Hey, Frank, Hobbo, how are y'all doing?
We're great.
We're good.
Hey,
good.
Brad, we gotta get a little piece of homework done here. First off, or housekeeping, whatever. Let's take our hats off and tip the Clemson Tigers for winning the ACC title in a great game. That was an excellent football game,
and it was good.
And guess what? Franco last week predicted that the Hokies would beat the spread. Check the files.
It was a I may have to go back to that.
By the way,
I listened to the show last week, and it reminded me how much better it is when I'm on.
That's not what you told us. Brad, do you hear this stuff I got to put up with?
Frank, I'm sorry I have to deal with this, Frank. Hobbo, you're right. It's a good show. It's a good show when you're on, Hobbo.
It's a painful thing. But all kidding aside, Brad, let's talk about Virginia football, the outlook, and the latest news, and where's the team going, and what has to be done in this offseason to make Virginia, first off, you know, a competitive team, a team that maybe can win 5, 6, 7 games, and then maybe build up from there and shoot for 7, 8, 9, 10 wins. So
let's
start with the offensive line, which is a subject you and I talk about frequently, including earlier today. UVA did get some good news. 6'10", and doesn't this sound like a basketball player? 6'10", 270 pounds, Ryan Swoboda from Windermere, Florida, committed to UVA not a moment too soon. He just took his visit to Charlottesville and said he knew the minute he landed in Charlottesville, before even was hanging out with players and coaches and all that, he said it seemed like his kind of town.
He knew he was going to stay because the plane ran off the runway. You know, it was too short. You know, but
the landing gear broke, he says he'll stay. Right?
If the kid has any low post moves, we may move him to basketball right away.
Have you ever seen a 6'10" offensive lineman?
I've seen a couple of them. I think Jonathan Ogden, I think he was 6'9". He's a big guy. I've hung out with him a couple of times. So 6'10", as long as you've got quick feet, 6'10", you're it's a great size. And I think, too, you want me to start with the offensive line? I think size is helpful for us right now. So if this kid can come in and play in a year or two at 6'10", 270, can beef up a little bit, I think that'd be absolutely fantastic.
I think he could put on like 50 more pounds and still be relatively lean. But that's we're not going to go there. Some other news on the recruiting front relative to the offensive line. It does look like Virginia's in decent shape with a couple of other players. Let's see here. Cole Clemens and Ryan McDonald are two players looking at Virginia. Those are good-sized linemen. I don't know what happened to the young man from Cortland, Virginia, Tyran Hunt. I don't know if he committed to Virginia Tech or not. I know that was one of the three or four schools that he was looking at, and he's also big. He's 6'7", 270. We're hoping that Mecki Becton from Highland Springs, whose team is still rolling in the playoffs, will get a chance. But let's just talk about the fact that coming back next year, Jack English at left tackle and Jack McDonald at guard are both rising seniors. They're the two starters returning. We already know that Eric Smith, right tackle graduated. Jackson Mateo at center graduated, and there's one more kid who escapes me. His name escapes me right now. But so three of those regulars are out. Jake Feeler is a guard, a rising junior. He's coming back. He's had some play time. Stephen Moss is a guard, has had little action to this point, but he was a four-star from Fredericksburg. He's a rising junior. He may have like 3 years of eligibility, I'm thinking. Ryan Bischoff at offensive tackle, no experience yet. He's a rising sophomore. And R.J. Proctor, who did play some this fall at guard, at right guard particularly, he will be probably asked to, you know, put in some more quarters on the field, and maybe he can develop. There's some red shirts, Ben Knutson, a tackle, and Dylan Rankinsmeyer is a guard or a center. I say make him a center so that the public announcer has a hard time pronouncing that name. And then true freshman, there's Tyler Fannin, center guard, and Chris Glazer, guard tackle.
What, so, are you going to get down through the whole roster here?
No, these are just the offensive line.
Okay.
So we're talking about, this has been the crux of the issue, you know, over the last 5 years. And Broncos talked about this frequently. You, having played offensive tackle and having been coached by two darn good coaches, tell me what your thoughts are about the offensive line and what you like and what you're worried about and what has to happen.
Yeah, I certainly will. I tell you what, let me start. It's been a dark season for us. Let me start with a couple pieces of good news and a couple shout-outs. First of all, I think you're right, Frank. Shout-out to Clemson, repping the ACC and the ACC tournament, going to the playoffs. That's fantastic. I think the second thing is, I'd like to give a shout-out to all the Hoos fans still listening, so that's awesome just to hang in there. Basketball season, even though we had a tough one on Saturday, is going to be good for us. And I'd like to give a shout-out to Tinkerbell as well. So I think the good news that we got here is, when you also look at a couple more shout-outs, we've got some great graduation rates. We had Michael Kaiser named Academic All-American, and then we also had three folks in the first team All-ACC, and then Smoke wound up honorable mention. So we had some bright spots in a pretty dark season.
Yep.
Now, you refer specifically to the offensive line. I think you're right. All year long, we've been short-staffed, a little bit of a walking wounded. We lost a lot of critical guys even before the season got there. And so I think one of the first things, and you mentioned it earlier, Frank, is you've got to start to recruit to fill that pipeline and get some big boys in there. I mean, if you think back to some of the good offensive tackles, the great running backs that had just a big up front piece, like when you think about Thomas Jones, when you think about some of the other guys that went to the NFL with Pierman, they had some big boys that they were behind. Great running backs, but they also had a great offensive line. So I think getting some sides in there will be good. I think the other thing that I hope that they look to do in the off season is think about some of the defensive tackles and the defensive ends that might not be playing a lot or might not have that career in their future, and convert them to O-line. I think back to John St. Clair. He started out as a defensive tackle, moved over to the offensive side of the ball, and turned out to be a 10-year All-Pro for the Bears. So I think that might be a good place to look as well. And then I think the final thing, and I know it's a new system, and I know Ben Kurt is a pocket quarterback, but I said at the beginning of the season, I think they've got to find ways to move that pocket and keep the defensive guessing instead of those defensive linemen just pinning back their ears and making stats, the sack statistics out of the UVA offensive line and our quarterback. So I think those are some of the things I would think about if I was starting to craft and re-put together that offensive line heading into the spring.
Technical question. So moving the pocket, doesn't it require fast, nimble, athletic linemen, particularly the guards and the tackles, to do that?
Not as nimble as you might think, because the good news there, it takes a lot of thinking out of it, Frank. So you're either shift sliding right or sliding left. You can get into some three-step drops, and you're more of a zone coverage instead of locking up one-on-one. So you don't have to be as technical from a pass rush standpoint as you might think you might, as you do. And then it also, if the defense can stunt into that, but you're blocking a zone and not a man, and so it makes it a lot easier than locking up one-on-one and having some tackles that don't have a lot of reps under their belt, locking up with great defensive ends one-on-one and being on an island. So you get a lot of help from whoever's helping you in that part of the zone. And then it also allows it, because the running backs and the ends move with it, so it allows for a little bit of chipping and for the running backs to help out in that zone as well.
Hey, Brad, this is Hobbo. Here's my question. How long is this process going to take? I don't like losing. You know, I get tired of losing. You know, I mean, you know, I'm a competitor, want to win. So what's our time frame here?
You know, I think even with George Welch came in, Frank, we talked about this a little bit earlier today. It took a little bit to get some wins under his belt. This is a new system. It's brand new guys that he hadn't recruited. There was at least three close calls where we probably could have won the game if we had snuck out a big win against Louisville. That would have given us a lot more wins and wouldn't be staring this two-win season in the face. But I think if his guys start to come in, he starts to recruit, I think we should see some more wins next year. And then as you get guys who have been in the system for 3 years, like, we should be able to compete. And if we can't compete after 3 years, then we need to think about what we're doing.
Well, let me ask you this. Habo likes to jump ahead. I think this is true of the entire Virginia fan base. Everybody needs to have patience in this because, in my humble opinion, and I just review the roster like every week, it seems to me that the cupboard was more bare when Bronco took the job and brought in his staff than back in the day when George Welch came in and followed Dick Beswick. Because if you look...
That's pretty bare.
Well, no, it wasn't. Actually, you got to remember something. Beswick, when he was there, they beat Georgia and Tennessee and a bunch of other schools. And so it was like a sleeping opportunity to some degree. And they did have a winning season, I think, in Beswick's next to last year. And so George saw that, and he knew that if he brought in his system from Navy and his guys, and he had Tom O'Brien and the others, he knew that he was a hell of a coach. Now, here's the thing. I think Bronco found out the ACC is better than anyone really had told him out West. Number two, I don't think there was that much depth at all. And one thing we know for a fact, the slotting has been messed up really almost going all the way back to Al Groh. So there has been no line of succession for key positions. And right now, all you got to do is look at quarterback for UVA. Ever since the disaster for Mike London and Phil Sims, Virginia has had a train wreck at quarterback. And so right now you do have Ben Kurt has 1 year coming up, and so he will get a chance to flex his muscles and prove to everyone that he's more than just a good arm. But then behind him, who's there? And really it's Lindell Stone and Lindell Stone. I could be wrong, but...
They better be out recruiting somebody.
They are recruiting, but Lindell Stone is a four-star out of Woodbury, and he only threw for 3,900 yards this year, and he accounted for something like 45 touchdowns. So, you know, he can play, and so we just have to hope. Now, where Virginia has some depth is wide receiver, and some good players are coming in. Now, here's some bright spots, Brad. We look at running back. There's a couple of players. Number one is Lamont Adkins. He's a running back out of Lake Braddock. He had a terrific season this past year and a good year last year. Good size too, and he's a flexible back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield and he can run between the tackles. Also, they just got another running back, Jamari Peacock, out of Yulee, Florida, 6 feet 215, and he hits the hole and apparently can knock people back. But he's not the only one. There's P.K. Kyer out of Winchester, Virginia, Millbrook High School, and apparently he put up some good numbers this year. So there's some talent coming at a key position because they do lose both Smoke Mizell and Reed. Albert Reed had a terrific year, and it really hurt Wahoos that he couldn't play against Virginia Tech. All right.
Hey, Frank, I think you're right about that. We're going to need all the weapons we can possibly get next year. And so to have tailbacks that can both run the ball and swing out of the backfield and catch some passes and get some yards after the catch is going to be crucial because we also lost a key wide receiver that had some spectacular plays this year as well. So that's
Donnie Dowling, he wasn't some breakaway receiver, but he was a darn good possession receiver. And he overcame a bad injury from the year before, too. And we should give him props for that. Looking at the challenge ahead, and we've got about a minute here. Summing up, let's stick with the offensive side of the ball since today's college football is all about putting points on the board. Do you like the fact that Bronco doesn't really use a tight end, really? Or Do you like the fact that he's into the four wide receiver sets?
Well, I think four wide receiver set is great, and I think that's a lot of what got him to his 99 wins before, and now his 101 now, is being able to spread that offense and throw the ball down the field. The challenge is we don't have the offensive line to do that right now to protect them when people are racing down the field and running post and flies and things like that. So I think the good news is, and we can talk about it when we come back after the break, but Ben Kirk got 10 starts, a lot of reps, used to game speed, and now if we can start to spread that a little bit and still run the ball, I think we'll be in better shape. But we've got to be able to have that long ball threat. But to do that, you've got to protect the quarterback, Frank.
Well, we know that Jack English will be even more improved this coming year. He's done nothing but get better at left tackle. We just have to hope that they can solve the issue of right tackle, because we know that's where the end rush comes from, and that you've got to protect the backside and the front side. Brad, we are jumping to break, and we come back on the other side very shortly. We have Wally Walker. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.